Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we have a very serious subject today that I have really looked forward to being able to share with you. And it is, as you know, this program is a more of a financial variety lifestyle show, not a hard pounding, breaking stuff on the table, all about the stock market. So today's program is a great example of that. It does involve insurance. It does involve financial matters, but it also involves healthcare. And healthcare now is what, one-sixth of our economy, and it continues to grow. So all that balled together, we're very fortunate to have Erica Kozel on the line with us, Dr. Erica Kozel. She's an author, speaker, a resilience expert. You'll learn very quickly and deeply why that is. She's written a couple of books, Miracles for Daddy, A Family Inspirational Fight Against a Modern Medical Goliath. And she's got another new book due out coming in October, When Miracles Aren't Enough, The Lessons Tragedy Taught Me. Both of those books will be available on her website, bouncetoresilience.com. And I'd like to welcome Dr. Kozel to the program. Erica, it's good to have you. Thank you for making some time with us.
Yeah, thank you again so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. And I was going to start to introduce your story, but I think, really, you are the one to tell the story. And I'd like you really to set it up for my listeners, and we'll let you give a little bit of the background, and then we'll get into some of the nuts and bolts and the things that we can help the listeners out there, who are many, have them hear your story and take from your story things that they can learn and things that they can do and be aware of. So if you don't mind, Erica, go ahead and share a little bit about the story.
It's my pleasure. Let's see, it was about 7 years ago when my very healthy husband at the time started to have some strange symptoms. And he looked perfectly fine, so it was all internal kinds of things happening. And at first, he thought that maybe it was the flu and there was something going around work. And, we had one small child at the time, and he was in daycare, and so there were those bugs being passed around, et cetera. But as time went by, he still just wasn't doing well, and then he started to have some trouble with his hands, where he was not able to get the top off of a bottle, and he started to have fasciculation, which is when your nervous system just kind of spasms.
Right.
And at some point, I could look over at his body, and it would look like a snake was underneath his skin.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy. And, he would get these massive headaches, like sinus headaches, and he had a crick in his neck that wouldn't go away, and his calf muscles would seize up and kind of lock. And of course, this is really alarming to him. And as he's, Googling the way we so much do these days, the things that kept popping up to address his symptoms were horrifying. Most of them focusing on the nervous system problems, and it would constantly come up: ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And for quite a while, he was doing this by himself without me knowing. And I can just imagine the anguish that he was going through as he was seeing the stuff on the computer screen, and kind of hid the symptoms from me. And again, was going to various physicians and going to the chiropractor and going to acupuncture and just trying to, get some sort of handle around it. And eventually he did wind up at a neurology office, and they thought that it was this condition called benign fascicular syndrome, and it was no big deal. And so we were sort of ecstatic. And then a few weeks later, he had another test done, and the test came back not normal, but also not abnormal. And probably in another 6 months, they told Jim if he came back, it would show up normal. But, we're going to send you over to this place, which turned out to be an ALS specialist. And he gave Jim that original diagnosis, and we were devastated. And when we kept bringing up things that didn't quite fit the ALS category, the physician just kind of kept discounting it. And it just something just didn't sit quite right with us. And it took us a while with that ALS diagnosis. There's a 2 to 5 year sort of expected longevity at the point of diagnosis on average. And, you know, at the time we had a child who was learning how to walk. And this was just, you know, so strange. He was so young. He looked so healthy. And fortunately, after we kind of got through a grieving period where we were just trying to make sense of things, we realized that there was just too many other things that Jim had going on with his body that...
It wasn't adding up.
It wasn't adding up, yes. And so fortunately, we had people that would say just a little something that, to get our brains moving. And eventually, we found a good team of physicians that helped us and ultimately a Lyme literate physician who did diagnose Jim with neurological chronic Lyme disease that had some overlap ALS symptoms. But we clung on to the Lyme disease part of it and worked hard to try to rebuild Jim's strength. And he made real gains and then he would sort of fall behind and then he would make real gains and then slip a little bit. And, you know, the physician that we were working with the most would say, you know, ALS doesn't do this. Once you slip, you just slip.
Right.
And so that was really promising for us. But ultimately, Jim had to have a tracheostomy. His diaphragm wasn't working very well. And then his just overall muscles were wasting away. And eventually, he got to the point that he couldn't walk on his own. He couldn't eat on his own. And the last 2 years of his life were really awful. You know, he was suffering a lot and it was really hard to, you know, sort of be the spouse and not being able to help him in the way that you would want. But
right.
we, through all this, even when it started, we said, you know what, there's got to be something good that we can take of this. And we decided to try to be proactive and try to reach out to people and help people along the way. And so I continue to try to do that today in his honor.
Thank you, Erica. Well, I know that's not... that's difficult. It's very difficult. And I applaud, you know, your resilience. And and this is, of course, a lot of what you're into now is helping other people with some of these things. And, the bouncetoresilience.com website is a great example of that. And, you know, the difficulty that you experienced in trying to get a proper diagnosis and the frustration that you had, I've had a personal experience with that and we'll get to that in a minute, but it pales so much in comparison to what you went through that it's remarkable that you didn't end up strangling somebody. And I'm not really kidding, okay? I'm not really joking. I know that sounds very, vindictive and mean-spirited, but it's remarkable because, that this just went on so long and you just couldn't get a proper diagnosis.
Right, and just to have to defend it constantly.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I didn't share and, that I read in your bio, you have a... You're a doctor and you are, is it biology?
Yes. And
yeah.
That ultimately helped me and helped the process. And it was out of frustration. As you said, one time we were talking to Jim's general practitioner and he was making these really, condescending sort of remarks. And again, this idea, no, Lyme disease can't do this. Lyme disease doesn't do this. And I finally said... And I could see Jim's face getting deflated, and he was so tired. He was tired so often, just completely fatigued. And I could tell that he kind of wanted to say something, but he just didn't have the to do it. And so just out of frustration, and I kind of, reached the boiling point, so to speak, I went, I have my PhD in biology.
Right.
I'm not an idiot. I've read that, we've done our research. I've gotten the scientific
You can read,
article.
Right? Yeah, you can read the medical terms.
And that was when he went, oh, huh.
It's not like you're a financial planner reading it to him, right? I mean, you're a PhD in biology.
And it was sad because he did respond to me differently, and I thought to myself, how many people don't have that background who wouldn't have, the nerve to basically argue with the physician.
That's probably one. There are several big takeaways that we're going to help our listeners understand, Erica, about this. You know, I'm an eternal optimist, and it's obvious that you are, and you have to be, have gone through this with the balance to resilience that you've, displayed. But there's, one of the big takeaways is got to be people have to be a vigorous and strong advocate for themselves and their loved ones when it comes to healthcare. Not because you can't accept, and we'll talk more about it. Let me grab a break. If you're just joining us, Dr. Erica Kozel is our guest today, talking about her own personal experience with her late husband and misdiagnosis on Lyme disease. And we're going to be talking about the things that she's done to try to help others and take some good from this. Bounce2resilience.com is the website. New book coming out, When Miracles Aren't Enough, The Lessons Tragedy Taught Me. That's due in October. Quick break. We'll be right back with Erica.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one, or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com.
And we are back with Dr. Erica Kozel, who is sharing with us her own personal story. And go to the website, bounce2resilience.com, because we'll only scratch the surface today with Erica. You know, the advocacy for your own health care, I mean, how much more do people need to hear, Erica?
I think that, you know, in terms of having confidence in yourself, I mean, there's certainly a respect for these people that are trying to help us.
Of course,
and I don't want to say, you know, every physician is bad, but it was an amazing eye-opening experience for me, because prior to this experience with Jim, my experience with physicians was, you know, having babies in the hospital and going for wellness visits. So it was a sort of eye-opening experience in that I realized it wasn't so easy, and that physicians were so busy. I sort of expected them to give Jim's case all this time.
Yeah.
It was this puzzle. It was interesting. I figured, again, sort of the unknown factor would intrigue some physicians.
Right.
And yet the reality was that the medical system in general is set up so that they're, you know, 15-minute visits, and they were being pulled out. And even if they wanted to give Jim attention, they couldn't because of all of these, you know, markers that they had in place for their own day, and it just didn't seem to be right. So again, I think you have to really take the time to find those physicians, those practices, those people that have a different sort of practice and a different sort of attitude toward their patients.
I think that's wonderful, Erica. And I think that, you know, again, with all due respect to all practitioners of medicine out there, you know, there's nothing wrong with a patient, as you would, I'm sure, very much agree. Just, you know, having their own thinking, they can certainly do their own research. And, you know, I Googled Lyme disease before we got on the air here. And now I know it's a bacterial infection. I know how it's transmitted. That prior to that, I did not have all of that information. It's the information, we have an ever-increasing, expanding encyclopedia called the Internet that's added to every day. And it's just people need to be, you know, serving and educating, and then hear what doctors have to say, and be able to ask questions. And if it doesn't seem like, which is what you found, of course, if it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere, you know, be willing to speak up and seek second, third, fourth opinions as necessary.
Absolutely, yes. Especially with, you know, older people who are much more accustomed to just accepting physicians.
Right.
You know, like my mother, she would just be willing to accept the opinion, which is fine. But again, if your gut is telling you something's off, you should be persistent.
Yeah. And there's not, again, all with all respect and all preparation. And, you know, the medical system, you know, it's, you know, doctors, especially with some of the changes that we've seen in the whole system, with some of the changes in the laws and such, you know, doctors are increasingly in high demand, and more patients get, you know, needing care. And, you know, we had a situation with my wife, Erica, where she was misdiagnosed several times, and finally she had celiac disease, a gluten intolerance, genetic, and it can be found with a couple of different tests. But if you don't have the gene, you can't have the disease. Well, she was told a variety of things: lupus, slow stomach. She had about a gallbladder removed that was perfectly healthy. So again, it pales in comparison to what happened with your situation, but it wasn't until we got a second opinion. I had her go to my doctor and said, "You're going to mine," and I'm not really asking. Okay. And then he ran, it's a blood test. But up until that point, she'd been told all these other things. And so if somebody is not getting the result, and we haven't even scratched the surface of this issue for you, we've dealt with it, which of course is most important, which is, was your husband's life. But in addition to all of that, you had all of the financial stuff that came with this. And again, this is where you have to be your own advocate and be able to address those issues between insurance and the financial costs that were associated with this.
Yeah, we had, as everybody who faces a long-term illness, we had just minor things that would add up, from the drugstore and that sort of thing. But the real sort of kicker came when we were working through Jim's IV antibiotic treatments. And there's this debate in the medical community about how to treat Lyme disease, if there is such a thing as chronic Lyme disease. Frankly, confuses me because there's all this research out there showing, I think, pretty good evidence that there is chronic Lyme disease. But regardless, the insurance companies will use that as an indication to not reimburse for these treatments. And so even though we went all the way as far as we could with appeals and trying to get reimbursed for these services, ultimately it all came out of pocket. And during some of his really heavy treatments, a week's worth of these IV antibiotics could be $2,000.
Oh, boy.
And so, the bills were just, racking up. And Jim was able to work for a long time, and he felt it was really important to work for a long time.
Yeah.
And he wanted, during his illness, we had another child. So we had two children, and he felt it was really important for the kids to see him working, and he felt like he would be giving up if he wasn't going to work. And,
right.
He kind of had those issues, but ultimately his body could not deal with it. And so he went on short-term disability, and then after a period of time, he got switched to long-term disability. And I did not realize it at the time, but when you go to long-term disability, you're forced to go to Medicare.
Mm.
And so Medicare became our first insurance, and our second insurance was our same insurance that we always had. And I said, well, I don't want it. I want our regular insurance.
Right,
but of course,
right.
Our insurance company
was
said,
very
no,
quick to say, nope, you're
that.
Medicare.
And so all the rules changed again, and we were paying more out of pocket with being in that situation than our private insurance. And then just trying to get through all of that paperwork, and Jim was in and out of the hospital many times, and it became logistically this kind of crazy situation where the hospital would say we owed this, but then Medicare would finally get this, and then it had to go to our secondary insurance, and on and on and on for months and months and months. And I know many people experience that frustration, that sort of logistical frustration of trying to deal with an illness. You just want to be paying attention to your spouse and paying attention to your loved ones, and yet you have to deal with all of this, and it's kind of disappointing.
Very. And again, did I mention that I'm amazed you didn't strangle anybody? Now, not only a doctor or a physician, but now strangling a health insurance or Medicare representative.
Yes.
Thank you, Erica, for sharing the story. Let's grab another quick break. Dr. Erica Kozel is our guest. You got to go to the website, bouncetoresilience.com. A lot more there. The books, of course, Miracles for Daddy, a family's Inspirational Fight Against a Modern Medical Goliath, and due out in October, When Miracles Aren't Enough, The Lessons Tragedy Taught Me. And we'll grab a break. We'll be right back with Erica. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Dr. Erica Kozel, our guest today, author, speaker, resilience expert, and you hear why. BounceToResilience.com is the website. And I know there's one more thing, as if, you know, again, you're trying to focus on your spouse, Jim, Erica, with his illness, the various, you know, misdiagnoses and then attempts to, you know, resolve the situation. And then you had the financial issues, you had the health insurance issues. Then on top of all that, and by the way, you're working this whole time and have two children. On top of all that, you get an IRS audit.
Yes, and that was such a shock. When we got the information in the mail, the panic, and I thought, what on earth? And prior to Jim getting ill, he always did our taxes. And I remember showing him, he was still able to talk at the time that this audit came through, and I showed him the letter, and he went, oh, I know what I did. So he, the way that we would get billed from our physician would be for the treatment. And at the end of one calendar year, feeding into the next calendar year, there was a series of treatments. And so rather than splitting it out calendar year, he put all of it on the previous year, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
It does.
And so our health costs were flagged because they were so high.
Right.
And we naively thought that if we explained what happened,
right,
that it would, you know, we would take care of it. And we weren't trying to skirt the issue. I mean, we knew that we had made a mistake, and we obviously wanted to fix it, make it right. And we were just hoping that we wouldn't get a penalty and that it would just sort of be kind of a, you know, an okay thing. But it was such a pain. And collecting all of the documents, and I think the biggest part that wanted to, you know, just make me go, scream, was there was, you know, all of these threats and warnings, like all of this information is due by this date. And, of course, they don't give you much time. And on that particular date, I was trying to fax all of the documents to them, as indicated, and right, my fax machine at home was not doing well. I guess maybe there were too many documents or something. So I thought, oh, I'll just go up to the store and have the, you know, the professionals do this for me. And so they too were having trouble, and I was standing in line, and I am not exaggerating when I say it was taking hours for this all to happen. And at the same time, the woman who was trying to fax was doing that. I was on hold with the IRS, and eventually, when somebody got on the line with me and I explained the situation, she says, oh, it's no big deal. Just put it in an envelope and mail it to us. And I said, well, it says here, you know, it's going to be late and all this
right,
awful things going to happen.
Right.
She said, oh, no, no, it's no problem. It's no problem at all. And I said, well, right, should I certify it, or should I mean, can you make a record of it? And she's like, oh, it's no problem.
Right.
And I just
right,
thought, are you kidding me? For all of the stress
right,
of this, and the anxiety about it being late, it turns out it's no big deal. Like, why do you do this to people? Like, why do you do this to people?
It's a crazy world, Erica. That's why. And, you know, you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent with the IRS oftentimes. I've seen that letter. And listen, I'm a CPA since 1992. And I misreported something one time. Something came in late, and I forgot it about it. I'd already finished a return. And so, you know, they sent me this nasty letter, and I'm guilty. You know, it's like, good grief, guys. So that is very frustrating. And then they, of course, you know, nowadays, the IRS, you can't even rely on what they tell you over the phone as information you can use in filing your return. And they don't answer questions anymore. So it's like, okay. Yeah, so.
It was very frustrating. And again, I think I learned a lesson about not being naive when it comes people sort of wanting to be helpful. Like you said, they were not very helpful.
Well, here again, you've got to be your own advocate. You know, I think that is, you know, there's kind of two things that really I want our listeners to take away from this, Erica, is that, you know, there are ways to deal with all the things that you were dealing with all at once, which is just remarkable. And as many as people as possible need to learn from that. And they can go to your site, bouncetoresilience.com, and get more information. But also that, you know, the second theme, which is just almost as important as that, is this self-advocacy, because nobody else, and I say it with money, you know, one of my sayings with money is nobody cares about more about your money than you do. And that's true. Even if you hire somebody to manage your money, you still have to pay attention. But with all of what you're talking about, you have to remain an advocate in every area of your life, especially with your health, not just your wealth.
Absolutely.
And I applaud the work you're doing. Any final thoughts for our listeners today, Erica?
Well, I think, you hinted on it here and there. I think that as you approach any sort of, you know, adverse situation or any sort of, you know, potentially hard time, to sort of keep things in perspective and to realize that you do have this inner strength that you can pull from, and this, you know, we all have this, you know, human spirit, this resilience that's there that we can draw on if we just know to pull it out. And that, you know, there's always going to be something good. There really is. There's going to be something good that you can focus on. And even if it's just like one little nugget,
yeah,
that little nugget can be a lifeline for you to make it through that day. And then the next day, you know, there'll be something else that's going to be good that will shine through. So I think that perspective is very helpful.
God bless you. Thank you, Erica, for your time. Dr. Erica Kozel, ladies and gentlemen. And we thank her for taking some time to be with us. BounceToResilience.com is a website. Two books, Miracles for Daddy, A Family's Inspirational Fight Against a Modern Medical Goliath, and then also out in October, When Miracles Aren't Enough, The Lessons Tragedy Taught Me. Erica, thank you very much for sharing with us your personal story.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.